So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here. And as you can tell by the music, today's a special day, Les.
Okay, but I couldn't hear the music, so I couldn't tell anything. But
well, I'll tell you what. 2 years ago, guys, in the world of wrestling, Hurricane and Rosie were the tag team champions. There was word of a shocking love triangle that had popped up between Lita, Edge, and Matt Hardy. And there was talk of teaming up Lita and Edge. Lance Storm had gave his notice to WWE. TNA was expected to make a big announcement regarding their TV situation with Fox Sports Net. And a little show called Wrestling Weekly debuted that week.
All right.
Yes.
It's been 2 years. That's
it's been
amazing.
2 years. This is our two-year anniversary. To this date, on May 15th, 2005.
And if we do it two more, we might get it right, you think?
We might. It's only been two, so I'm not saying, you know, it's been a long time or anything like that. But... I think we've improved maybe 35% in that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Production-wise, you know, it's always been crummy.
Grading on a curve or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, happy anniversary. And for those who have been around for that length of time, thank you.
Thanks
you
for having
you obviously have a high tolerance for pain.
Well, we got a great show for this anniversary show. We've got, of course, Gabe Sapolsky. He's going to be here. He's from Ring of Honor. He just got that new big pay-per-view deal, and he's going to be talking about that. We've got Brian Alvarez from Wrestling Observer Live and the Figure Four newsletter. He's going to be here with us for Hot Topic, and as our main guest, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, excuse me, is going to grace the show. And he's going to be talking about his career and what he's doing now.
So you going to throw him money?
I would hope so.
Okay.
God, I hope so.
I can deal with that. I can deal with that. Well, you know, let me touch on a couple of things. As you know, Too Cold Scorpio and Rob Conway got released. You know, I don't know Scorpio well. Obviously, he's a good talent, but he never really got used. He got signed and virtually not used. I saw him on OVW's show once, and I think that's, you know, once or twice, and that's pretty much... I guess he's done some dark matches, you know, up on the big roster. Conway, I've known Rob since he started with Danny Davis back in the 90s in Ohio Valley. He was one of the first Ohio Valley guys I ever used. You know, back in the day of territory, Rob's would be a great setup man, a great mid-card heel or babyface to help launch a new wrestler to a territory, you know, to get them over on their way to the top and be extremely valuable and could make a living in territories. And he's a really a talented guy, which he never got to show, honestly, in the system he's harnessed with some, well, gimmicks that were almost destined to fail no matter who did them. You know, and I think that here's a guy that could help out in the developmental system, you know, to work the house shows in the developmental system with the trainees and plus work out with him, a guy that's been to the dance. Plus, he's always available to be used back up there. I hope he catches on with somebody. You know, it's just, I know him personally. I've known him for years, and he's a good guy. And as hard-nosed as I may seem at times, here's a guy that's busted his hump to do what he's asked, put his heart and soul into the business. He loves the business, and he pretty much has hung out to dry. So
yeah. Also, I don't know if you heard this, but it's late-breaking news today. Vito got released, too.
Yeah, I heard. I don't really know that much about him, honestly. I've seen him a few times, handful of times, I don't know him personally, but I was never real high on the gimmick.
The dress?
thank you very much, anyway.
Right.
I thought, here's a little positive input for those of you who think I'm too negative on TNA. I thought this last Sunday's pay-per-view was probably the best show they've had in a while. I did not like the finish in the main event. It was a dusty finish. I thought Storm and Harris probably, had the most, in terms of reaction, had a strong match on the show. Overall, I think the Basham and Danny and Doug need to get over. I'm so tired of seeing, I don't care whose show it is, TNA's or WWE, I'm so tired of seeing handicap matches and three- and four-way matches. It's too much. It really, honest to God, is. It was a better show. I would have liked to have seen Tiger Mask and Jerry Lynn just cut loose alone. I mean, I don't mean that in any disrespectful way to the other two kids that are in the show, mm-hmm. in the match, but I just, again, you can't showcase one or two talents when you got four or five out there.
Right.
It just don't work that way. I don't care who it is. And I think that's overdone in all the promotions right now. And I saw Vince with his do-rag matching his suit last night, I think Vince needs to be drug tested. I'm not real sure. I don't know what he's on, but he needs to get off of it. No, it's just, I just don't see – I see no value. I honestly do not. You need to be getting guy. I mean, no more than I see the value in Kali.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after Cena's had a great 60-minute match with Michaels, and then two weeks later they're pushing Kali to the forefront, I don't see the value.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm lost here.
He still has that big man mentality, I think.
If he's got talent, then I don't know that I should be playing the NBA or something. I don't know. I mean, he's just there's nothing to him. And I didn't like John's promo last night about he took my belt. Like, come on, I didn't like. I don't like that angle. I didn't like it 30 years ago. I don't like it today. It's just BS.
It's kind of overdone.
Well, the point is, it's like. You being my team winning the Super Bowl and yours losing, and as they're presenting me with the Super Bowl trophy, you come and grab it and run away with it. How long is the commissioner of football going to allow you to keep it?
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds before he finds you, suspends you, and throws your ass in the street?
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, to me, there's got to be some logic, as you know, and there's no logic to that. And there's no logic to a 61-year-old man being world champion either. I don't care what he owns.
Right.
And it comes back to the whole, I can't wait to see Coach and Lashley. Why?
Yeah.
Why do I, hey, Doc Young's going to wrestle, John Cena. Do I care? What, is Doc nuts?
I guess it's just for the car wreck effect of seeing Coach get beat up.
It's meaningless. It's a it's a time filler, and it's a waste of time.
It is a time filler, yes.
Do you think anybody just can't wait to rush their TV? I mean, Coach is an executive.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ted Turner's going to hit for the Braves tonight. Well, somebody needs to drug test Ted Turner then. I mean, come on. It's just, they take two steps forward and then one step back, and it's just
I'll tell you what,
I
was pretty interested when Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin were going to wrestle, but that was a long time ago.
It's been done. Yeah,
yes.
Okay, and it's been done over and over and over. Yes. I have no pick with Vince. He's always been cordial to me. He's always been a gentleman to me. Our relationship is good. That's why. But I mean, I know he's a genetic jackhammer. I know he's God. I know he can wear a do-rag. He'd be world champion of all three federations at the same time. But my question is, why? Who cares?
Right.
Nobody. And like I say, once it's been done, it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it does nothing for ECW. You know, I mentioned sending Kip James out there to wrestle Danny and Doug. Why? Is he just stupid too?
Yeah.
Is he brain dead?
I thought it was going to be a tag team match.
Well, it was supposed to be, but then apparently Brian got beat down and then the pre-show. But then they should have sent the other this miniature collie out there with him, the one that came and made the save. What's the kid's name? He's that good that I can't remember his name.
now you stumped me. You got me.
Well, he's the kid that hangs out with the James boys, that hangs out with Kip and Brian.
Spike?
Huh?
Spike?
No. That's 3D, silly.
Who am I thinking of?
The big, tall kid. I can't even think of his name. Somebody in the chat room will throw it out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's the miniature. He's
Hoyt.
Huh?
Hey, somebody said Lance Hoyt.
Yeah, that's it. He's a miniature collie. Yeah. At least throw him in there and let them beat him, for God's sakes, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, it comes back to the whole, okay, so Lashley went out there against three people and got beat. Really? Why? Gosh, that surprised me.
Yeah.
So then guess what? Rob Van Dam watched that happen, so I guess I'll go out and get beat by the same three people.
Yeah.
Are you just stupid, Rob? are you brain dead, too?
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's just, it's horrible booking. I'm sorry. It's just horrible booking.
Also, speaking of releases from WWE, and this just came over the wire in the last couple hours, Sabu was let go today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I guess that shouldn't be a surprise. It's been a rumor. Of course, this if there's a day goes by and there's not some kind of rumor in this business, you can't buy into all that, but...
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he wasn't happy, and apparently they weren't happy with him not being happy, I guess, from what I could tell. But, there's a guy who's given his body literally, figuratively, and over the top for the business at a low level for years. And when I say a low level, this is his actually first time he's had any opportunity to wrestle in big arenas. And it's sad that it happened the way it did.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd say, you know, I mean, it's time for him to wind down anyway. It's taken its toll.
I'm actually surprised that he's been wrestling this long.
Yeah, well, maybe he shouldn't be. Maybe this run was, with the idea that they're resurrecting ECW. And, of course, when they didn't, and the whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, to me, it appeared he was going through the motions. You know, I didn't see...
A spark.
Honestly, whatever. There's not many places to make a good living in this business any longer.
Right.
You know, that's the horrible thing with a monopoly.
It's getting to the point where it used to be, I guess, 90-95% of wrestlers were poor and struggling and 5% were rich, but now I think it's like 98.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw TNA's new belt on the internet today, the heavyweight belt.
Does it look familiar?
What do you mean, does it look familiar?
Doesn't it sort of look like the WWF belt?
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's probably, I thought it was a nice-looking belt. I don't like big, gaudy belts, although this is bigger than... the NWA belt was as big as I care to see, honestly. I guess this belt is going to be up for grabs in the King of the Mountain or some, due to the goofy finish on Sunday night in the main event. NWA pool, that whole thing's been completed and now they're going to have a tournament. And then I saw somebody in the NWA making the announcement. And of course, today. You got a press release, as did I, from Big Vision Entertainment, the guys that did WX Wrestling Society X.
Yes.
WSX, I'll spit it out in a minute, have cut a deal with NWA to do merchandising with their DVDs and so forth. We talked about this a little bit before we came on the air. I mean, no offense to anybody, but... The NWA that I talk about was Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling, the alliance of the the 60s and 70s and early 80s, and it's not the same. If they can make some guys a living, if they put the belt on Danielson, as they said they will, I see that gives them a little credibility. But, it's over.
All right.
The glory days of the NWA are well past, and it's never going to be again, that's all. Well, let's face it. The only opportunity for guys like Brian Danielson, we mentioned Rob Conway being released, guys, that once they're not working for the big companies, TNA now has a pay-per-view, so that's going to add a little bit to their financial thing. TNA, of course, which is never going to be honestly a huge competition for Vince. But there's all, if there could be some decent regional promotions where guys could make a living, but nobody is ever going to put up the amount of money or have the actual time and dump the amount of millions of dollars that it would take to honestly build a company the stature of WWE again.
Right.
End of story.
Yeah. Another news. Did we mention the Naturals got released?
We didn't, but they did.
Yes, the Naturals got released.
I guess that's been festering for a while too, from what I understand.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that the Naturals are more relieved than anything else. From rumors and stories going around, they weren't very happy.
And I guess, Austin Aries asked for his release and wasn't granted it or something. And, in terms of TNA pulling their guys off of Ring, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of since Ring of Honor's gone to pay-per-view, they are in that regard a competition.
Yeah.
So
it's just too bad because a lot of those guys were homegrown in Ring of Honor and then moved on to TNA.
Again, it comes down to somebody can start the old stupid "you sold out" chant. Of course, I did.
Right.
It's a professional. It's a business where you pay your bills.
That's right.
And whoever an old timer said years ago, we're all hookers. Just a matter of establishing price.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. We sell ourselves and to the highest bidder. And in the business world, in capitalist America, that's the way it goes.
Right. Now, Ring of Honor can branch out where they are with TNA.
And I think Gabe will tell you. I think we get to that. I don't think they're looking
at TV.
I think they're looking to increase their visibility. I think they're looking to increase their DVD sales. I don't think they're interested in,
television?
No. I really don't. I really don't. No, that's a big thing to bite off, my friend.
Right.
They did the paper. They did two shows over the weekend. They taped and will edit down the one on Saturday night at the Manhattan Center, and they'll do another one in June or July for the next pay per view, whatever.
Right.
But to do weekly television is a grind, and it's expensive to do it on a level that is going to get you national exposure.
Right, and the networks have no patience.
No, well, see, and you have to give away so much,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be a middle ground there somewhere, but nobody's found it of late that I'm aware of.
Right.
I don't think they're interested. Of course, we'll ask Gabe about that, but I doubt that they're seriously even, entertaining that thought.
See, but I guess TNA, they traded, they released the Naturals, but they signed a new sensation. The TNA mascot Stomper.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You want to see if I'll hang up? Is that what you're trying to find out?
I was testing you.
Okay.
Personally, I think the new mascot should have been a panda. It made perfect sense.
Personally, I don't really care. Okay. How's that?
We got a question in the chat room about our 2-year anniversary, and I believe it was Rhode Island Red who asked who our favorite. Interviews have been in the last couple of years.
I don't know. I've enjoyed several. I think we surprised people that when we had Ole Anderson on, that he was not a raving lunatic.
Yes.
I thought the Chris Canyon interview was interesting.
Definitely. That's one of my picks.
And informative, mm-hmm. as well as Orlando Jordan in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
you know, which was more than just who do you hate and who do you, you know, give us some inside scoop and let's play National Enquirer type of thing.
Right.
You know, I think those were good, solid interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I enjoy, you know.
I liked, I guess my favorite, and you weren't there that week, so it kind of ruins it a little bit, but me and Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
Who, of course, was my hero growing up. Me and Brian Alvarez did that one.
Yeah.
And he was just hilarious. He was just everything I expected. So if you want to go back at some of the old shows and listen to them, these are the ones we're mentioning now, these are the big ones that we're talking about.
You know, I to me, of course, some of the guys from my generation, you know, Terry Funk,
mm-hmm.
Ole, Joe Hamilton, Frankie Kane, Donnie Fargo,
mm-hmm.
You know, I thought those were all, you know, a lot of fun, and you know, I would hope that, you know, that those in the chat room, those listening, and you know, are enjoyed those too, because, you know, I think it brought another dimension,
mm-hmm.
you know.
To hear about things that happened, you know, before you were born and stuff, just because you don't, you might not recognize the names or anything.
Well, you know what, I think the history of our business has been so jerked around and so screwed with and so bastardized and so spit upon, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that you know, I think to share some of it, you know, in a light that where there's no axe to grind or no agenda, you mm-hmm. know, we're not trying to sell a DVD or anything. You
right.
know? So I think we'll get some of that from Ted DiBiase tonight, you know.
Yeah. Also, oh, they're saying in the chat room, Bobby Heenan and Paul Bearer, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
You know, yeah, those guys are, and Bobby was, you know, was around, yeah, and of course Paul Bearer's been with us a couple times. And so, yeah, you know, I think we've just, you know, we've had some good times.
But I'll tell you what, Les, if in 2007 sometime, if we get the Big Show on this show, that's going to eclipse it all.
It is.
For me, it will.
Okay.
Yes. The Big Show's my hero.
Paul, okay. Well,
I'm Mark.
Okay. Well, I know, and he has no breast. That's pretty exciting.
We got a great show coming up for you guys tonight. Of course, Brian Alvarez is going to be here for the Hot Topic. We've got Ted DiBiase on the way, the Million Dollar Man. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Ring of Honor's Gabe Sapolsky with us. He's going to be talking about that new pay-per-view deal, and he's going to answer your questions. So get your questions ready in the chat room. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Wrestling-Radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-Radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo.
check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from Ring of Honor, it's the man himself, Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly tonight.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Gabe, it's in the can. I don't know if it's all edited and ready to roll yet, but you guys got it done at Manhattan Center. From all indications, from what I heard, it was a good show across the boards. Looking back at it, how do you feel?
Well, I just actually got done watching the raw footage very early this morning, and I can't be happier with it. It was absolutely tremendous. And when we put this together into a two-hour show, we're going to start production tomorrow. I really believe this is going to be a sensational show. And you know, considering the price of it, it's going to be $10 to $15. I'll put this 2 hours of wrestling for $10 to $15 up there against any pay-per-view going on right now.
You know what? I think I would too without even seeing it. The conversation I've had with people since this has been announced is that my stance is that you guys are going to end up being the alternative that TNA should have been and never turned out to be.
Well, I'm not going to compare us to TNA at this point, but I think that we are definitely going to be an alternative, no doubt about that. I mean, especially what WWE is doing and what TNA is doing. We kind of went back more to our roots of 2002, where you're not going to see any run-ins, you're not going to see any ref bumps, you're not going to see any sports entertainment cliches on this pay-per-view. If you want to see some good, hard, athletic wrestling for 2 hours, with some storyline stuff thrown in and some character stuff thrown in, you know, you have to have that. But with the emphasis being on just good, hard, athletic wrestling, this is going to be the show for you. And I think that everybody in the ring really delivered. All the guys who wrestled on Saturday deserve just so much credit because they all came through with major league efforts. And to me, like, that was the most important thing coming out of this show is, you know, these are guys that chose to be in Ring of Honor. The guys on the roster, guys that wanted to be here, they all signed contracts with us. When they didn't sign contracts because they shopped themselves around everywhere else and they weren't accepted, we asked them to keep things quiet, sign contracts with us, and we tried to put our roster together, and that's what everyone did because they wanted to be here. And for all the critics who said they're not TV ready or they're not this or they're lacking that, I think the show will really quiet everybody because everyone really produced something on the show last Saturday that's going to air in July.
You know, I think you are going to wake up some people in the other companies once they see some of these guys honestly given an opportunity to step up because, let me throw out Nigel simply because he's one of my kids, but I've said to people here in the last year or so, why is everybody blind? Why didn't somebody sign this guy, you know? I mean, he has really come into his own the last 18 months or so. And like Brian Danielson, or Kent, or the guys from NOAH. I mean, of course, they're not going to be able to sign with WWE or TNA, but yet I think that's part of the mystique that you guys bring to the table, too, that it is more serious. I think what WWE and TNA are missing, we've talked about here on the show. I don't know if you saw the Del La Hoya Mayweather 24/7 on HBO or not, but
yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, the great build that UFC does in a similar vein to their shows, and I think that's where these other guys are missing the boat, and I think that's the mystique that you just mentioned it, hard athletic competition, and I think that's where they're missing out.
Yeah, I think that Nigel is really the prime example of a guy who just everybody missed the boat on. And, you know, he went to TNA, and he was supposed to do a match against Samoa Joe. I believe they were doing something where Joe was taking on all the international talent, but then they dropped the idea, and he ended up wrestling Shark Boy, an explosion match, and I don't think that it went that well. And then Nigel had a shot at OVW, and he wrestled Elijah Burke, and there was a miscommunication with the time cue, and that match didn't go too well. And you know, between those two matches right there, I think both promotions just kind of gave up on him, and they're going to see what a huge mistake that was when they see our pay-per-view, because Nigel is a guy that we've handed the ball time and time again, and he's not a guy that became an overnight sensation with us. I mean, he was a guy that started in the opening match and worked his way up to the second match and up to the mid-card and then up to the main event, and now Nigel is really peaking at the main event, and you give him the ball, and, I mean, he scored a home run, and he's always going to do that now. He's a bona fide top-flight worker and a main eventer for us. And it's just been a great journey watching him climb up the card and seeing him now develop those talents and make the most of his talents.
I think now that you guys have taken this step too, I mean, you and I have had this conversation in the past that and it's really a left-handed compliment to you and to a Ring of Honor that you guys are maybe a farm system for their bigger companies because they've picked up so many guys from you. But I think even more so now with the pay-per-view that these guys are going to, I mean, they're going to sit up and take notice. There's something I want to touch on now, too. You know, there's been this talk of Ring of Honor is going to, you know, now in competition with WWE. And, of course, I think the great thing is that we don't have to drug test you and Kerry to find out what kind of acid you're on because you don't have those delusions of grandeur. I think you realize this is a next step to helping increase your DVD sales worldwide. Plus, it gives makes your wrestlers more out front and gives them a stronger persona.
Yeah, what this is the next logical step for the company. It's not us trying to be competition to TNA or WWE, especially WWE. I mean, because, you know, they're a billion-dollar company. We're never going to be in competition with them. And at the same time, you know, WWE is a TV product. It's a TV show. And we're not looking to do a TV show. We're just looking to keep carving out our little niche and hopefully we can increase the fan base a little bit. You know, we reached the point where the amount of people willing to spend money on a DVD for us, we reached that amount of people, and what we needed was a way of getting exposure to try to increase the fan base a little bit or show us more steady growth, and that's hopefully what this pay-per-view thing is. We're not looking to change the world overnight or all of a sudden, you know, we're not thinking all of a sudden we're going to do 100,000 buys and blow everybody away. That's not our goals. We have very moderate goals. And it's all about a nice, slow, steady growth.
I think over a period of time, you're going to pick up some of the quote, wrestling fans that are less than excited about the entertainment that is being pushed by TNA and WWE and have kind of gone away from the product. And once the word gets to them and once if they see your product, I think they're not only going to buy the pay-per-views, but I think, you know, the DVD sales will increase in that category as well.
That's what we're hoping to do. And, again, it's not like all of a sudden we have to pick up 50,000 new customers or we're trying to do anything like that. We're just trying to get some more exposure to maybe pick up some people that might buy this as an impulse buy on their video on demand or pay-per-view or a little disgruntled. Maybe they'll give it a shot, whereas, you know, they might not send $20 off to buy a DVD or $15 off to buy a DVD, but if it's something they can just buy in their own living room and they get immediate satisfaction for it, they might buy and give us a chance, and then hopefully we can hook those people. So it's all about setting realistic goals, and hopefully we can achieve those.
Now you've expanded, you've gone into England, which was, as far as I know, successful. You're doing some co-promotion with Noah in Japan. Do you plan to expand here in the States as well? I know, actually, I guess as far to the west as you get is just here by us in Dayton. Well, Chicago and Dayton, I guess, or as far to the west as you've actually taken your product this far.
Yeah, I mean, we're always looking to expand. Right now we don't have any plans, mainly just because, you know, we're still a small office. We're still a mom-and-pop company and organization. So just going on pay-per-view was a huge undertaking, so we're tied up with that. And now we have Japan in July, so that's going to be a huge undertaking for us. So we're going to be tied up with that. But we're always looking for new places to go. But right now, you know, we're not really actively working on anything.
Without giving away any results or anything, what can we expect to see on the pay-per-view on July 1st?
main thing is just a lot of good, hard, athletic wrestling from top to bottom. You'll see five diverse matches. You're not going to see the same match twice. And if you're a fan of professional wrestling, you know, the name of the pay-per-view is Respect Is Earned. And we thought a lot about how we want to present and market this product. And basically what we came up with, and this is all true, is that, hey, you know, we're not going to hit you with a lot of high praises. We're not going to hit you with a big sell job. If just give us a chance to earn your respect. We're charging $10 or $15 for this pay-per-view. It's not a big investment, so give us one shot. Let us earn your respect. We're not going to hit you with all the lines and hype that you've heard a million times. And that's basically what it comes down to. And I feel that the product that we'll put on in July, once everything is produced and all these matches are produced in the backstage segments, will be a product that will earn people's respect. And that's our whole goal with this.
We got some questions out in the chat room. Chris the Crusher, he says, TNA recently cut all ties with Ring of Honor. Do you have any comment on NWA cutting ties with TNA?
No, not really. I mean, I'm actually surprised our relationship lasted as long as it did. So that's pretty much my thoughts on it.
The main ingredient says, what are some of the long-term goals that Ring of Honor has for the future?
Just staying in business, just like always. I mean, you know, that's always a feat in itself. So hopefully, you know, this pay-per-view will give us some more exposure and let us steadily and slowly increase our fan base still, and we'll be able to maintain our business.
Can I interject here, for those who are listening or in the chat room that don't know the background with Gabe, too? Gabe firsthand saw a company try to grow faster than they were capable of because he worked in the old ECW, the original ECW. So I'm sure that he's profited by Paul's mistakes. Would I be right, Gabe?
Yeah, and Paul will be the first one to tell you that, too. So, but, I mean, it was also a different world when ECW was going on. You know, now the wrestling landscape is completely different.
Sure.
But you definitely do have to be careful not to overextend ourselves. And, you know, we have a very good management team in place, and I have 100% confidence in them that, you know, they're not looking to do that.
The Dooley says, will Chikara guys like Quack show up on the Ring of Honor pay-per-views, or are you trying to stick to guys only under contract with you?
No, anyone can show up on pay-per-view. The goal is to put together the best possible card. Honestly, like, you know, I'm not worried about us putting a guy on pay-per-view and then him signing somewhere the next week. If that guy is going to make this pay-per-view that much better, I'll put him on. So it's all about putting on the best show.
Is the $10 price, is this an introductory price, or is this what all the pay-per-views are going to be, or have you even decided?
This is what they're going to be. So, it's $10 to $15 depending on what cable system you're on, and we're pretty much locked into this price. Because this isn't going to be a big money thing for Ring of Honor. This is going to be a bad exposure. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to outprice ourselves. We wanted to make it a reasonable price where if someone wanted to give us a chance or it sounded interesting or maybe they went to a WWE house show and they heard the fans in front of them talking about the pay-per-view and they might not necessarily want to spend $30, $40 on it, but for $10 I'll give it a shot. That's why we set that price. We want it to be affordable, and we want it to be something that can lead to impulse buys and something that will lead to that exposure.
I have another question for you. Now, the pay-per-view systems, is it Dish Network?
Yeah.
Okay, and if this gets any more buys or anything like that, is there maybe a deal with On Demand in the future?
Well, we have a deal with On Demand, so
okay.
we're on that.
Okay.
We're on 99.9% of the homes with cable. The only thing that we didn't clear, and we're still working on it, is DirecTV.
Excellent. Gabe, I want to thank you for being on, and we're going to look forward to this pay-per-view. It's July 1st, guys. Check it out. It's called, what was it called again?
It's on the entire month of July, so if you miss it July 1st, you can see it anytime during the month.
Respect Is Earned. That's awesome. July 1st, guys, check it out, and also check out Ring of Honor at ROHWrestling.com. I'll get it right.
You got it.
Gabe, congratulations on this step, and
absolutely.
Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you very much, Les. Hopefully I'll see you in Dayton in June.
All right, yes, I would. What's your date in Dayton? Do you remember off the top of your
head? June 22nd.
Ah, I'm in Detroit. I'll pass you on the highway somewhere.
Just be waving.
Well,
all right.
I'll see you soon, then.
Take care, my friend.
All right, take care.
Gabe Sapolsky, guys, from Ring of Honor here on Wrestling Weekly. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more stuff for you. Stick around.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
There's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is easy.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now on the line for Hot Topic, he's from Wrestling Observer Live, and he runs his own little newsletter. I've heard of it before. It's called the Figure Four Weekly. Brian Alvarez is here. Brian, thanks for being with us.
What's up?
He's picking on you, Brian. You owe him money or something? Is that the deal?
I don't know.
I actually had to hear the Brian and Vinny show today. That's why I'm a little upset.
Oh, God, I would be too. Let's not plug that show. We do not, in fact, have a free show this week, everybody, but we will return next week on Tuesday.
Brian, how's your week been, man?
It's been fine.
I heard the big Brian Alvarez versus Larry Sweeney rematch has been announced.
The funniest part of that is it was news to me.
Really?
I actually learned about that. I guess it's 2007 now, so I went to our website on Friday night, I think it was, and on the message board, there was a big post in the wrestling section saying, Sweeney Alvarez 2 announced. And I thought, huh, how about that?
And that's the second time it was a big surprise, because at the last, when you guys did the first match, and they were talking about having a second one, they announced it, and I'm standing next to Larry Sweeney at the gimmick table, and he goes, no, I can't do it that night. And they're
yep.
like, oh,
We'll have that announcement in the future.
Ah, independent wrestling.
We discussed the rematch, and I pretty much knew it was going to be in July, mm-hmm. so it's not like I was shocked or anything like that. But
see, now that they've announced it and they didn't confer it with you, you've got leverage to get big money, kid.
I do. I could hold out for $10,000 this time.
Yes, absolutely.
As opposed to $7,500.
Sure.
Yeah, we had discussed that we couldn't come back in May, and so I actually didn't hear the announcement. I just know that after the show, I was sitting around in the back, and the promoter just ran up to me and said, I didn't tell him to say that. And I was like, say what? And he explained that they had, in fact, announced us for next month. And those things happen, I guess.
Right. But, yeah, okay, so when is it going to be? It's going to be in July now.
I believe July 13th is the date.
July 13th. I'll have to see if I can make it back up there.
Make your plans now.
I don't know. We'll see.
Get your tickets. They'll be going like wildfire.
Get your tickets. No, I actually saw the first show on, this is Fight Sports Midwest, of course, we're talking about. I saw the DVD of that, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was a very good DVD. I was very impressed. So.
When I'm there at the show, everything just seems to, you know, go by so quickly. I don't really get to absorb a lot of things. But I like to get the DVDs because then you can go back and you can look and you can be, oh, I missed that when it happened, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I like to do that. So it was very good stuff, and the production is really good. You can get that at smartmarkvideo.com, guys.
This is our second anniversary, Brian, of
the right.
show.
Congratulations.
I know.
I knew it was a birthday show. I didn't know how many years
it's
been.
Two years to this day.
It's amazing.
Seems like forever.
It does, but Les and I have, we've been working together for longer than this, though. I think that's why it seems longer to me. But we've only been working on Wrestling Weekly for 2 years.
Yep. Let's get some feedback from Brian on a few subjects here. First of all, the TNA pay-per-view. Brian, what did you think?
I thought it was a great pay-per-view. I wasn't a big fan of the very end of the pay-per-view, the convoluted finish they had for the main event. I sort of thought, well, you know, at least they're setting up some sort of angle because they're not going to have the NWA belts anymore, and they'll figure something out on TV. But then I looked at the taping results, and I was like, huh, well, they sure didn't need to do that now, did they? So I don't understand the finish, why it was done, except for the usual. I was looking at, like, all the title changes in 2006 and since late 2005, and you know, there was a King of the Mountain match where a referee interfered for the title change, a heel ref. Then there was a title change via DQ after 30 days. Then there was a three-way where the champion didn't get pinned. And now we had this convoluted finish, and I thought, you wonder why nobody cares about who's the champion in TNA. Belt's just been abused. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but the beginning of the TNA show, Angle comes out with his new TNA belt and is immediately stripped. It's like, this is the brand new belt, and in the very first minute of his existence on TNA television, the first thing that happens is it's stripped. And it was just frustrating because it was such a good show, and I just knew that nobody was getting it.
Doesn't that kind of seem
like you said basically the same thing I did? It was the best show they've had in a while, except the finish on the main event was stupid. And to me, there's too many three ways and four ways. It's overdone. They don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, it's a trap they fall into of trying to just be too nice, which is funny because if you talk to a lot of the guys, virtually the entire company is unhappy about something in TNA.
Right.
And the funny thing is they try in some ways to be so nice, and it's to their detriment. I mean, you don't need everybody on every show.
No.
I mean, it sucks for the guys who don't get to be on a show, but you don't need everybody on every show. That's the biggest problem with the TV. And on a pay-per-view, I mean, it's great that everybody gets a payoff, but at the same time, how many three-ways can you watch?
Right.
I mean, that second X Division match on the pay-per-view, I mean, it was a really good match, but no one cared. They'd seen it all.
You know, what I said when they booked that four-way with Tiger Mask, I says, put him and Jerry Lynn, give him 20 minutes plus, and turn him loose, man. You can't showcase any particular person in a three or four or five or six way anyway. You just can't.
Right.
You know, so.
Doesn't it seem like the way they open the next show, you know, with Kurt Angle and his title and all that, doesn't it just kind of seem like, hey, thanks for buying the pay-per-view, suckers, But none of that counted?
Well, the TV, I mean, there's 8 million problems with TV, and that's sort of, I mean, that's one of many.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not even so much that, I don't see the problem with telling fans that, because it was the same fans that always buy the show. I mean, they're going to buy the next show,
mm-hmm.
Unquestionably. The problem to me is I watch every show, and I never care about buying a pay-per-view when the show's over, ever.
You watch them because you're in it's your job, right? It's part of the business.
Yeah, but I mean, if I look at it like, I can watch a lot of shows that are part of my job,
sure.
And when they're over, be excited for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, in my own strange way, I'm excited for Cena and Khali, just because I think it's going to be a disaster, and I want to watch it.
Are you smoking?
Sure, I mean, at least it's something crazy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there have been many shows where I watch them, and I'm like, you know, this is going to be a fun pay-per-view. And with TNA, it's just never like that, because they never give you a reason. They never give you a good reason to buy a pay-per-view, because if you don't buy pay-per-views for TNA, if you're just one of the 1.2 million viewers that watches every week, I mean, why would you want to pay $30 for a 3-hour version of Impact? You never get any good wrestling.
Right.
You never get any good finishes. Everything is way too fast. I mean, they never give you, I mean, at least on Raw or on SmackDown, they give you a 2-hour show, which isn't pay-per-view quality, but you often get a good show. And the idea is, well, if you buy a pay-per-view, you're going to get a good 3-hour show with no commercials and much bigger matches.
Right.
That's a selling point. With TNA, it's like, well, what do I get from TNA for 3 hours? I don't know. From watching this show, I sure ain't getting much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you watch TNA if this wasn't your job?
Nowadays, probably not. I really don't think that I would.
I did think that Storm and Harris redeemed themselves on this pay-per-view from the last disaster, didn't you?
I thought they had an awesome match.
Yeah.
I think they added 8.5 stars from the last match that they had. And it made me so mad. This is another TNA thing that upset me. They have this awesome match. This is this great match, one of the best TNA matches in a long, long time. And the instant it's over, they immediately cut to the back because Sting was going to do an interview. And, you know, the mic work, you couldn't hear the mic work. There was something screwed up with the audio and everything like that. So in the background, you hear all these people cheering and jumping up and down and chanting thank you and everything like that. And I just sat there thinking, this is like when there's a big party and you're not invited.
part of that after-match atmosphere in a situation like that is as relevant and as important as a damn match for guys.
It's more important, because to me, it's like that's the sort of thing that hammers at home that you saw something special and something memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was even worse in the main event when Angle won the title, and I don't even think he had his arm all the way extended over his head with the belt before they cut away. And to me, I just thought, I mean, if the company doesn't seem to think it's that important, which obviously they don't because they just keep cutting away from everything.
Right.
Why are we supposed to think that it's important at all? The Harrison Storm match made me so mad because I just thought back to, like, the Royal Rumble with Angle and Benoit where they just let Benoit stand in the ring for, like, 3 minutes, and everybody stood up and cheered and gave him a standing ovation, and you just watched it and thought, man, I was just part of something really special right there watching this show.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the final touchdown, the final seconds of the Super Bowl, and they cut away to a Three Stooges movie or something, right?
Something like that, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Something where you're supposed to, it's supposed to give it a chance to soak in, and instead there's no chance because they just keep moving on.
Yeah.
Les was saying that one of the best things, of course, about the pay-per-view was TNA's new mascot. Didn't you say that?
No, Les didn't say that either. No, Les didn't say that.
What do you think about the mascot, Stomper?
I thought it was so awesome when they first showed the mascot and Don West was terrified. He was like, that really caught me off guard. He's going to have nightmares about this Stomper.
He's afraid of kangaroos and forks for some reason.
Sure, yeah.
Don will be selling those kangaroo suits on Home Shopping Network shortly.
Somebody had a great idea that I guess, you know, Stomper has already got involved at the taping, so
yes,
they've already ruined it. But somebody had the idea of, you know, why not have Rob Van Dam pull off the Stomper mask 3 months down the road. I mean, he's likely coming in. Because when you watch that pay-per-view, nobody could forget Stomper. He was on screen for like 2 seconds. and they could make a wacky cult character out of this guy, so might as well use him for something.
Do you think that they watched Fight Sports Midwest and all of a sudden had a great idea?
Saw the monkey and thought, we need a kangaroo.
Yeah. We need another, but we only have a kangaroo costume. What are we going to do? The main ingredient says, what would you book for the next TNA pay-per-view, Brian?
Oh, gosh. I would. They've already sort of ruined it, so I don't know how to remedy this with what they've already started to do. But first off, I wouldn't have booked that finish.
Yeah.
I would have, you know, just put somebody over, and let's say you put Angle over, great. And then you have a Christian and Sting match on TV and give them, you know, 15 minutes. I know that's crazy, but give them some time, have a winner, and then that winner gets Kurt.
Yeah.
I don't know, something simple.
Ross Carr says, after Batista, who do you think is next for Edge?
Well, now that Mr. Kennedy is only out for 2 months, I think they'll slowly start building up to that. I don't think that they're going to blow off Edge and Batista on this show. I don't know what they're going to do because I would suspect that this match is going on last, and they usually don't like to book some sort of screwy finish in the main event.
Right.
Unlike TNA, I should note. But that sort of limits the possibilities because, you know, if Edge beats him clean, it's tough to book a rematch.
Let me shift gears here real quick. And are you as excited to see the Ring of Honor pay-per-view as I am?
I am. I'm interested to see how it's going to do.
We just had Gabe Sapolsky on just before you, and and he said he just finished looking at the Raw footage and is really cranked up about it. I think it's. I told him. I said, you guys. Obviously, they don't have the kind of television exposure TNA has, but I think Ring of Honor for actual wrestling fans will end up being the alternative that everyone had hoped TNA would be.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that many years ago, when TNA was doing the weekly shows, and they didn't really have a lot of outside of the internet exposure, it was mostly the internet audience. They were doing some buy rates that were pretty damn good. And one of the things was, whenever they didn't do a weekly show, whenever they had to do a taped show, it was always an X Division show. Because that was the taped show that they could count on to actually sell pay-per-views. And to me, I always thought, well, if you know that, why don't you build around the X Division? But they never did. Mm-hmm. But the point is that kind of taped show didn't do horrible numbers. And I think that there's the potential for this pay-per-view, not necessarily to beat some TNA numbers now, because TNA does have Spike TV, but I think that, and there are people in WWE that think the same thing, that a good show could do in the 15,000 range, and some of the smaller shows maybe around 8. And with the cost of doing a taped show, you're not going to lose money doing 8,000 buys.
Right.
And one of the things that somebody mentioned to me this week who had been at the show, they talked about how it was 4.5 hours long, which to me is too damn long, but that's another story. But he said it was 4.5 hours long. They've got a 2-hour block, which means a lot of those matches aren't going to be on pay-per-view.
Right.
And the scramble match is not going to be on pay-per-view, and he said that was his favorite match of the night. And
well,
I asked
you know
him,
what? I've seen all the scramble matches, and I'd rather they scrambled it up and didn't put it on the paper.
Sure.
I think when you've got Morishima and Kenta and Danielson and Nigel and that crew, that's what that's what it's not that there's not talents in both the other companies that have pay-per-views that aren't good. It's just they're not utilized in the same vein, you know.
Sure. And the point is, I asked him, okay, you were there live, would you buy the pay-per-view? And he said yes, which is a good sign. And I said, would you also buy the DVD? And he said yes, because I want the scramble match. And I thought, That is actually, it's almost like when you buy a movie, like you've already seen it in theaters, but you buy the DVD because A, you liked it, and B, you have all the extra features that come with the DVD. And for fans that love Ring of Honor, you can get the pay-per-view and see it way before it comes out on DVD for like $10, and you can buy the DVD and see some matches that you didn't get to see on the pay-per-view. So really, they have the potential to, at least for the hardcore fans, almost double up on what they're making from those fans six times a year.
Right.
You're right. You're right. I just, you know, I'm excited for them, and I think, you know, those guys that they're using, the ones who got under contract, are deserving of the exposure. I think, you know, and I think both the other two companies, once these guys are showcased, are going to take a much harder look at them. Why they haven't, you know, in the past is beyond me anyway.
Well, I think it's a lot of it with WWE is they just have that mindset of large guys. And I think a lot of the Ring of Honor, there aren't even a lot of guys in WWE that I think watch Ring of Honor, at least in The Office. I think a lot of the wrestlers obviously do, but The Office people, A, don't see it, and B, when they do, it's a style that is not what they're looking for in WWE.
Right.
And that's really the big problem nowadays is there are two very different wrestling styles in America, the WWE style and the non-WWE style. And nearly everybody outside WWE is doing that non-WWE style, and WWE doesn't want anyone doing that style in WWE. So you've got a big issue of where are they going to get talent in the future?
You know, I was saying earlier in the show to Doc, you know, I get so frustrated with WWE because they'll take two steps forward, like with the Cena and Michaels hour, and then they take a step back with the all these stupid handicap matches. And Vince with his do-rag and the belt and Kali being featured. I mean, it's just, you know, it becomes frustrating. You think, my God, they're going to start actually having good, solid matches, and they're going to build around that, and then they give you something like that, and you think, oh, hell, it's right back to the same old thing again.
Well, it's actually sort of funny because the wrestling thing right now is Vince sort of reverting back to, you know, the 70s and 80s when it was very much about wrestling.
Yes.
And at the same time, the 70s and 80s were also very much about gigantic men having matches, and that's the Great Khali.
They were. If you were wrestling for WWWF, but there were normal-sized people in the other territories which were blowing the roof off the places too.
Sure, but that's not Vince's mindset, though. He was brought up in that era.
The Dooleys has, well, it's more of a statement than a question, but he says, Vince released Sabu so that TNA can make him just another guy, so that he can't come in with RVD and possibly make a difference. Is Vince a genius or what?
That is quite a conspiracy theory.
Yes, it is. But it leads to another question. What do you think about this, Sabu being released today?
I'm surprised he wasn't released earlier, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Nothing against Sabu, but he was, you know, he's one of many guys in ECW that just really doesn't fit in what ECW is nowadays. And, you know, he had some issues in the past, and I guess he had issues today, and it was sort of inevitable that it was going to happen, and I'm pretty sure that he figured it was inevitable, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm sure he'll be in TNA very quickly.
Right?
What was that?
It wasn't if, it was just when.
Yes, basically.
Right. Brian, I want to thank you for being on for Hot Topic this week, and good luck versus Sweeney. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again before that, of course, but, you know, he's a big guy.
And hold out for big money now that they've booked ahead without consulting you, Brian.
Absolutely.
That's my plan.
We'll be looking for your shoot promos on YouTube, my friend.
They'll be coming pretty soon.
guys, check out Brian Alvarez at f4wonline.com. Now that he brought in a new URL, just so I can say it, now I remember the original one.
figure4online.com.
Yes, that too.
And tomorrow you can check out thefightnetwork.com because my new column is going to be up. I'm doing columns once a week, so I wanted to plug that too. So.
All right. Good man. Expanding.
That's right.
The
worldwide.
Empire,
not nationwide, but worldwide.
Universe-wide.
All right.
The empire is burgeoning.
And I can
exactly.
Say I knew you'd win.
So that's that.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you for being on, and we'll see you again in a few weeks.
Always
cool.
A
thanks
pleasure,
again.
Brian. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Brian Alvarez from Figure Four Weekly, guys. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got, pay-per-view prediction game. We're going to find out who won from TNA Sacrifice, and we're also going to play a new one for this week's WWE pay-per-view. Also, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. He's on the way, guys. Stick around.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly, guys. It's time to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. It was TNA Sacrifice we're dealing with. And we're going to shoot through this pretty quickly because we've pretty much covered the good and the bad and the ugly from the TNA pay-per-view already. So let's get down to the results. Now, there were three matches, Les, that we didn't cover. That was Rude versus Jarrett. Of course, Bobby Roode won that one.
You know, I let me say this right now. Yes. For Jeff Jarrett, with the situation with his wife going on at home, for him to come in and have any kind of match at all, do the job for Roode to help elevate the kid, maybe the best match I've seen. Bobby's a great talent. But anyway, my hat's off to Jeff.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of pressure on him with his wife. It's just been in the hospital you know, one thing and another. So, you know, you got to give the guy credit, man. He's been a trooper. And he could have just as easily sat out and stayed home, but he's taking care of business and trying to take care of his family as well. So,
this is true. Christopher Daniels defeated Rhino. And Jerry Lynn defeated Shelley, Senshi, and Tiger Mask 4. Those are the ones that we did not cover. Here are the ones where the pay-per-view prediction game counted. The first one was... it was supposed to be the Voodoo Kin Mafia taking on the Bashams. Or it was, well, Basham and Damaja?
Yeah, well, your girlfriend couldn't even on the TV. She called him the Damager. It's Damaja, Chrissy, but hey, what do you know, right? Exactly. Yes.
Don't talk bad about Christy. She just misspoke, that's all.
No, she just didn't know it. She wasn't prepared when she went out there. But anyway, go ahead.
You would have went with Basham and Damaja. I don't know why. I went with Voodoo Kin Mafia. It ended up being Kip James taking them both on by himself, and he ended up losing. Les gets the point on that one. Chris Harris versus James Storm. Les, you did it again, man. Chris Harris is the guy that you went with. I assumed that they were trying to bury Chris, and I figured I was going to go with James Storm. So you got the point on that one, too. So it's 2-0. Also, it was Chris Sabin defeating Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt in a three-way match for the X Division Championship. You and I had both went with Chris Sabin on this one, Les.
3-1.
3-1. Team 3D beat LAX versus Steiner and Tomko, And we went with Team 3D on this one, Les, so we were pretty good on this.
4-2.
4-2, and finally it was Christian Cage versus Sting versus Angle. Angle did come out on top, and Les, you called that one too, my friend. I had went with Sting on that one.
You know, this is kind of frightening, the fact that I picked TNA's show.
Not only, Les, did you like, destroy me, also, of course, Styles versus Samoa Joe was also in there, and we had both went with Joe, and he did win. So not only did you destroy me in this game, but you picked every one of them correctly. You were perfect this time.
I'm scared. That's scary
that
for
is
me,
scary.
Even. That's because you know, because those finishes made sense. Again, I thought it was a bad call to put Doug and Danny out there against Kip by himself, because they needed a stronger win their first time. These guys can help them do business. I don't, you know, they're both good performers. Kind of like Rob Conway, never given a real opportunity, you know, in the other atmosphere at WWE. You know,
right.
Just never got turned loose. But anyway, you know, I would have liked to seen that, just a good solid match and them get their hands raised. So, and then, as I understand it, they did the same silly thing on the first taping, which is even more stupid. But anyway,
moving on to Judgment Day. It's going to be, of course, this Sunday on pay-per-view, WWE's pay-per-view. First up is CM Punk versus Elias Burke.
Burke, I think. Probably gets his hand raised.
I'll go with Punk on this one.
Okay.
I always like to just go against you and see what happens, but I know that didn't work out for me last time, but next up, Ric Flair versus Carlito. This was just added.
You know what? My sentimental, and I don't know if they'll go with this, but I'd put Flair over it. I'm not a big Carlito fan to start with, but you know, Flair's still has that it factor with the people, and probably, you know, I would go with Flair.
Yeah, and if anybody didn't know what Carlito was saying to Tori in Spanish on Raw a couple weeks ago, he kept calling her a dirty blonde in Spanish and saying that he was done with her. So that's just a little trivia for you there.
Well, shame on him.
Yeah, it was horrible. So you're going with Rick on this, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Carlito.
Okay.
All right. Shawn Michaels versus Randy Orton. Do we need to? Yeah, do we need to go through this?
I'm going to pick Michaels.
I'm definitely going to pick Michaels. Orton's in a little bit of trouble right now, and I'm just going to leave it at that. WWE United States Championship. This match is going to be 2 out of 3 falls. It's between Chris Benoit, the champion, versus MVP, and hopefully it's the last one, because this is the third meeting between these guys in a row as far as pay-per-views go.
Well, you know what? Their matches have been better. MVP has stepped up. I mean, Benoit, no doubt, has carried him, but the kid has improved. You know what? I'm going to, and of course, Benoit is a personal friend, and I'm, you know, as you know, I think he's one of the best wrestlers, professional wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yes.
But I think in this particular thing, 2 out of 3, I think they may put it on MVP.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I think this has been set up to elevate MVP, and Chris is doing a great job of doing it, and I think this will be the culmination of the 3 matches, and I think MVP is going to be the new United States champion on Sunday. Next up, and guys, play along at home if you want, see if you can beat mine and Les's score. Nobody can beat Les's score from last week, of course, but it's worth a shot. The World Heavyweight Championship matchup, guys, it's between Edge and Batista.
I've got to go with Edge. If they take it off of Adam right now, then they've just made a huge mistake.
I'm going to go with you on that one, too. It kind of seems like a no-brainer to me, especially with him just taking it the way he took it. It seems logical sense to keep this flowing as far as the way he got the belt. You know, if he lost it at this point, then they just did everything for nothing.
Yeah.
WWE Championship, which I believe this is going to be the main event, is between John Cena, who's the champion, and the Great Khali.
Well, I don't have to think 30s. I don't even have to think 3 seconds on that. If they don't put Cena's hand raised, then somebody needs to drug test the entire creative department. I'm sorry. It's just, Kali is a one-trick pony.
Right.
I just don't, I have, you know, I don't give a damn how big he is. The guy is just, you know, he's got no depth. He's got no shelf life. He just doesn't.
If the great Kali wins the championship, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something majorly drastic, like shave my head in a Britney Spears fit of mental illness or something like that. Which means, of course, I am going with Cena on this also, because anything else would probably, you know, make the world turn inside out and up would be down, sky would be green.
I understand.
Things like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, I can't.
You get the picture.
I just can't see it going any other way. It doesn't make any sense to me. It really does.
So, guys, that's it for Judgment Day. Check it out on Sunday, this coming up Sunday, May 20th, 2007. Les, we got a couple minutes. What is going on with you and
Friday,
your busy schedule?
The wife and I are taking off Thursday for East Tennessee. We've got doing a camp, a one-day deal in Elizabethan at the rec center on Friday. And then there's a show that night. Midwest Championship Wrestling is having a show down there. And and then we're going, we're not that far from Maggie Valley, North Carolina, where's my wife's home. And so we're going to slip down there for the weekend.
Barbecue time?
Huh?
Barbecue time? You going to have a barbecue?
Well, I don't know if we're going to have a barbecue, but we're going to go down and visit. And then we'll be home Monday. And then the 8th, 9th, and 10th, I'm in Mobile for Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle. We're doing a three-day camp out there, open to all the independent wrestlers. And then I'm going to miss Ring of Honor on the 22nd because I'm going to be driving to Detroit, because we've got an all-day seminar up there on the 23rd, and doing a Midwest Championship Wrestling show on Sunday night, the 24th. And if you're interested in joining us for the Mobile seminar, it's golfsouthwrestling.com. Hook up with Percy to sign up or to get more information on the website. It's got the whole schedule. And amkickboxer@hotmail.com if you're interested in join us for the Saturday gig in Detroit. The show on Sunday night is at the Ritz. And then working on a New England gig, Denver, and possibly something on the West Coast. So
yeah. One thing we forgot, and people are clamoring about it right now in the chat room, we forgot about Vince's match against Bobby Lashley.
We forgot what?
We forgot about Vince versus Bobby Lashley for the ECW Championship.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why I didn't mention this, but it's Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Umaga versus Bobby Lashley, of course. So
I can only pray that Bobby gets the belt back. Enough's enough.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the opposite of that, of course. I think McMahon likes to antagonize people and say, hey, no matter what you like or don't like, this is my company.
I'm not buying tickets, so they don't need to antagonize me. But
right. Just the fact that I know he loves to get this major heat by holding these titles when he shouldn't even really be in the ring.
Somebody will blow smoke and tell him it's the right thing to do, and I just won't be that somebody.
Right.
Bless his heart. He has built this company. I will not take that away from him. His legacy is well positioned. He's not, he doesn't have to worry about that. But I think, it's time to build the younger guys. It's time to put it where it belongs. And this is just to prolong the agony is just that agony, I think. And it does nothing for the company. It does nothing for the product. Again, it's that two steps forward, one step back deal. And I hate to see it happen.
Right. Guys, now that you've heard all the huge cities, the major cities that Les is going into, guess where I'm going to be, Les? On this weekend, I'm going to places you've never heard of. No, I'm going to be at West Terre Haute, Indiana on Sunday. West Terre Haute, Indiana.
I've wrestled Terre Haute, Indiana.
This is actually the town next to it. It's called
Where my boy Larry's from.
Yeah, it's called West Terre Haute, Indiana. And yes. That's for Crossroad Championship. And on, I believe it's the 3rd and the 14th of June, I'll be at the Blue Jeans Center in Monroe City for two different promotions. You can check that out at myspace.com/DocYoung. It's got the whole schedule there. I'm not going to waste any more airtime talking about it.
Well, we've got a few minutes. We've got some time. We were talking about the MTV special last week, and you said you wanted to get into that more.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Definitely. Wow, I completely forgot that we were going to cover this again, but some of these guys that I had seen on this, and of course we're talking about the MTV's True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler, which we had promised last week we were going to talk about this. Some of these guys, whatever happened to some of them? I mean, do you still stay in touch with the guys who did not become famous? Or?
Well, I don't know who Rory Fox.
We know Rory, yeah.
He's wrestling down in Texas. He's down in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio, I'm sorry. San Antonio, Texas. Rory, I still talk to Rory occasionally. Shark Boy was on that gig.
What about the female? I can't remember her name, but she's...
Helena Heavenly.
Really?
Wasn't it?
No.
It had to have been.
She said that she didn't have a gimmick. She was just herself, and this is what she does.
Yeah. No, she still does some all-female shows.
Mm-hmm.
Actually still lives here and dates John Moxley, who's a young wrestler who I think you'll probably see in WWE developmental before too long, who starred here in HWA. Most of the guys, a lot of those guys are out of the business. I still see some of them occasionally.
What would you say, like, as far as maybe percentage-wise, the number of guys who come through or who came through your camp when you did the main event, main event pro wrestling camp.
Yeah, Les Thatcher's main event. Yeah.
Yeah. When, the guys that came through that when it was the HWA's camp, as to the guys who maybe are still working now, what would you say the percentage is as far as success?
Well, it's a small percentage, but mm-hmm. then, it's everybody said, well, gee, but it's a small percentage in professional baseball, football, basketball. It's a small percentage if you go out to Hollywood to break into the movies,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to realize it's a niche industry,
right.
And here's the other thing. Today, there's so many kids. When Danny Davis in Ohio Valley and I both started training guys, we were quite elitist, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't take you in if we didn't think you were packing the gear to go somewhere.
Right.
But then we also realized there were a bunch of idiots out there who would take your money, tell you they knew how to train you, and you would end up with nothing. And you probably weren't going to go anyplace. You were just doing it as a hobby. Now, a lot of guys are offended when I call them hobbyists, but I don't know what else to call them.
I believe The Undertaker said he was a victim of this when he first started out.
Some kids, Les Thatcher called me a hobbyist. Well, your dad holds a full-time job, and he plays golf on the weekend. What would you call him? he's never gonna tee off at Tiger Woods in his wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these kids are never going to tee off with John Cena or Chris Benoit.
Right.
And they refuse. I mean, so many guys, but Danny and I then both figure, well, if they want to learn, we might as well teach them the right way if they're interested,
mm-hmm.
And that was our hope. So we opened our doors. I don't know how many, considering the other schools that I've gone to and the people I've worked with, I don't know how many hundreds of guys that I've actually, dealt with over the years. But it's a small percentage. I was on Raw last night. I was watching Lance Cade and thinking, I'm so happy for him that he was a good kid. He spent a year with me. He started with Shawn Michaels in San Antonio, but then when he came here, Now, we're talking about personalities, and everybody, I'm old, so everybody thinks I'm old school and I'm not into entertainment, but I'll tell you something we did with Lance. We made him, his entrance music on our shows became the rap version of Stayin' Alive. It did. Yeah. And the only reason was that we wanted him to emote, to open up a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he first came here, he had no earthly idea how to call a match in the ring. None. He was frightened him to death to even think so. And then we did our last TV show when we lost the contract with down at OVW, and he was a champion at the time. He dropped the strap. I call it a strap. Well, I'll get fined for that one. Belt, strap, title, whatever.
Right.
That was Cena never mentioned his belt last night. They had his championship, his title. I thought, oh, my God, how horrible to worry about something so trivial. But anyway, Lance worked with Cody Hawk and dropped the strap to Cody. And when he came back, both Danny and Jimmy Cornette and myself told him, you know, what we thought was, you know, the match was good. And he said, and we called it all in the ring. And he was so proud to have done that. But Lance's a good kid. You know, so anyway, Murdoch, he started with Harley, but I've had the opportunity to work with him in several training camps and out at Harley's. And, you know, but the percentage is small. And part of the problem, Doc, is so many kids are just, it becomes a game. And you know, I don't think I have to stress to you or anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time that to me it's not. You know, it's very serious business. Is it fun for me? Yes, but I take it very seriously. It's not a game. And you know, there's too many 130-pound guys that are never going to – that we, you know, it's like riding the roller coaster. They'll go out and jump on, you know, to do a quadruple somersault to entertain themselves, but they're not interested in putting an ounce of muscle on their body or looking like they're wrestlers or – they're more interested in all the glitz and glamour and not so much, not the substance, you know.
Yeah.
They could care less about psychology, and the you know, as I've said in the past, the problem with that I think is that guys who actually want to move up and actually want to make a career are a lot of times forced to work with these guys who really don't care, you know, and they don't take pride in what they do. They're just doing it for the hell of it.
Right.
You know.
Now, there was something that you had told me off the air last week that we spoke about the True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler, and that was, of course, everyone remembers you as the guy who yelled at the guy with the bag of drugs that you found in his hotel room. On the television, it had said, you know, they had you pull out the bag, and you said, this is what I found in
the hotel
room.
No, I didn't pull out a bag. What I had in my hand, and I don't know why everybody thought it was a bag. What I had was he had made a pipe out of aluminum foil.
Okay.
And that's what I had. And I had, and it was a pipe for crack.
Yeah.
It wasn't marijuana. It was for crack.
Yeah, and on the show itself, as
well,
soon
no,
as
he was trying to con me.
Right.
And tell me it was grass.
That it was marijuana. It was not made clear it was on the show.
And I'll be very honest how I got my hands on that. I had gone to the hotel, the motel where he was staying, And the people, the maids and the desk people down there knew me, you know, because a lot of my people, you know, I had people staying there. We had an arrangement with this just around the corner from our gym. And, you know, for people to stay there, whether it was for one night or for several weeks or whatever. But anyway, I went down looking for him because he had been, you know, missing in action again. And so I asked, you know, the housekeeper, I said, how about let me in this room? I got to leave him a note. And so anyway, I went in, and this place was just, God, it was a mess. He wasn't there, and I found looking for a pencil and paper because I wanted to leave him a note. So I wrote the note, and I'm thinking, okay, where should I leave this that he's got to see it? And I thought, I'm going to lay it in the middle of this messy bed. And I went to lay it down there, and the light was shining off of this something metal. It was glinting. I'm thinking, what the hell is that? And it was this pipe just laying there in plain sight. I just hadn't seen it till I went to lay the paper down.
Right.
So that's what it was, and I put it in my pocket and took it with me.
Wow.
To confront him with it, you know, because, of course, you know, he had been trying to deny all this, and, you know,
You got caught dead to rights.
I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday.
Right.
I've been around a day or two, so I mean, I know what's going
on.
He says
maybe someone planted the pipe. That's what he said.
Yeah.
In the
right. Checks in the mail, and I'll respect you in the morning.
Right.
Some other BS story.
Guys, our featured guest is coming up. The million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, is going to be here in 93 seconds. We'll be right back.
93 seconds. All right.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from his beautiful home in beautiful Mississippi, the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, is here. Ted, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's a real honor.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. Teddy, we want to get into the wrestling, obviously, the background. I want to go all the way back to when you were just a straight, good-looking baby face. But before that, let's talk a little bit about your ministry. Give the fans a little background on that.
The ministry is has become my life here in the last. I was actually ordained into the ministry in February of 2000, and I guess it's the last thing that I thought I'd ever be doing. And most guys didn't know me when I was in my younger, wilder days would probably agree. But it was a transformation in my life that took place, and it started about 1992. I was at the top of my game in the WWF, and in spite of all that was going well in my life, I was doing what so many of the other guys do. You get in that mode and on the road, and it's the next town and the next party, and it's the booze and the broads and all that stuff, and it came to a head when I was confronted by my wife and realized that I had been pretty much a self-serving jerk in spite of all my success. And that's when I took the long, hard look in the mirror, and I basically turned back to the God of my youth. And in doing so, I guess I went really against the grain. I mean, all my buddies said, "Oh, gosh, Dad, don't confess. She might forgive you, but she ain't ever going to forget." And that's not true. I did confess and I did repent, and by the grace of God, my wife did forgive me. I spent a good 2 years regaining her trust and respect, and our relationship flourishes today. But that was kind of the beginning of something that began in my heart, and I went forward with that and began to really grow in my faith, and I started going out, 2 years later, to this church and that church, and would share a testimony. And as I began to see that, people could identify with what I had gone through and been through, and in turn, kind of looking at me going, "Look, if God will do that in your life, then there's hope for me." And it was kind of had a snowball effect. Like the more I went, the more I was asked to come, and the more I got into the Word of God. And I ended up taking a pilgrimage to Israel in 96, and that pretty much went, you know, sent me right over the edge in terms of where my heart was. And the wrestling industry was changing quite a bit, and I needed to be home with my family more, and it was kind of a slow thing. Although I still love and respect the wrestling business, I mean, it'll always be a part of my life. You know, my heart's not there anymore, and it's in this ministry and seeing people's lives changed and being able to go out and help people who are hurting in one way or another. I mean, I go to you know, not just to churches, but I go to prisons, and I speak to kids in orphanages, and you name it. You know, just you know, married couples that are whose marriages are on the rocks, guys that have been in and out of rehab and down and out. I go with guys into the inner city, and you know, I minister to homeless and hurting people, and I'm just trying to give back as much as I can today.
You know, I read your book, and it was an emotional ride for me because I'd just been there, done that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it also brought to light for me, too, and I think if nobody's ever been in it, and as demanding as a business today, us guys who did the territories and were on the roads every night, you look back and how many other people in our lives, family and friends, sacrificed so that we could be what we were.
Absolutely.
You know? And I try to spend, you know, give more quality time, like to my grandchildren now, simply because of that, you know,
right.
That I realize I can't go back and do it over again with my, you know, with my kids or, you know, or my family. So I think that's one thing that Doc and I were talking about, you know, my training guys before you came on. And I said one of the problems with the young guys today is so many of them do it as a hobby and play at it, and they really aren't dedicated, you know, like we had to be. And you sacrificed so much to be a professional wrestler back in the 60s, 70s.
Oh, you really did. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't a job. It was a way of life. It was a lifestyle. And you know, it's my belief that, you know, anything, you know, when I speak to kids and the students and to my own boys, you know, I said, you know, because I remember, you know, my dad was a great worker. But other than that, as well as that, he was a national amateur champion out of Nebraska. And, you know, and the one thing that I always loved about my dad was that he never pushed athletics at me. He said, I want you to do whatever is in your heart to do. And he says, as long as I know that you're giving it your all and you're passionate about what you're doing, then I'll be happy. In other words, you know, he wasn't one of those dads that, you know, well, you know, I was a wrestler and I played football and that's what I want you to do. And I even went to school. When I ultimately went to college and played football, I played football with some guys that hated every day. And it's like, well, why are you here? Well, you know, my daddy always wanted me to be a ball player. And that was the one thing I always respected about my dad, is he didn't push what he did at me, but encouraged me to live my dream. But he said that. He said, whatever you do in life, you should be passionate about. And wrestling is one of those things that you have to be passionate about it to really do it right and to be successful at it. And it does. It just is, you know, it's almost like, you know, it is. It's, you know, like the divorce rate in wrestling at the time was huge because you were basically married to the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned your boys, and they broke in with Harley.
Yeah.
Which one? One of them's over working for Noah now, right?
Absolutely. My oldest son, Michael, hurt his knee, and he's rehabbing the knee right now. And my son, Teddy's 24, he, you know, he's got a degree in business administration, and I think he gets this degree, and he goes, okay, Dad, he says, I did what you wanted me to do. I've got my degree. Now I want to be a wrestler. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, haven't you watched me walk around? You know, you see me hobble around on my horrible knees and everything. And I said, and you know, so, but, yeah, he, you know, I sent him to Harley because I wanted him to learn the basics and learn them right. And then, yeah, he actually, things are turning out pretty good. He went over for Noah for a 5-week tour, in their dojo and then 4 weeks on the road. And he came back and was excited, and everything had gone real well. And you know, he said, gosh, Dad, he says, I think I learned more in the last 5 weeks than I have in the last 6 months, because, you know, it was experience. You know,
sure.
That's how you learn this business, is by doing it.
Right.
And anyway, so he gets home, and apparently a guy that was supposed to go on the very next tour backed out or something came up, couldn't go. And Noah emailed Harley and said, look, we'd like Ted Jr. to come back, if you will. And so he left, and he's actually en route to Tokyo right now.
Oh, great.
So he's turned right around, going back for two more weeks. So,
I think what a lot of kids don't understand, you know, everybody looks at what WWE is, the ultimate, the utmost, is the pinnacle here, and, of course, then TNA. But a heck of a living can be made in Japan. And just working this sporadically here. I mean, well, Hansen did it for a long time.
Absolutely.
Brody did it for a long time, right?
Absolutely. And I had that opportunity. You know, I had gone over there, and when Brody left All Japan and made the move to New Japan and split that team of Brody and Hansen, Stan came to me and said, do you want to be my partner? I said, are you kidding? Of course I want to be your partner. I mean, like, you know, you're only the hottest commodity in Japan. So that was a great break for me. But it was like I had just started that and had been on a few tours when I got the break to go to the WWF. And I don't know, you know, I've thought about it. You know, looking back, I was like, you know, had I decided to go the other way like Stan had, you know, I might have been a lot better. I don't know. I mean, there's lots of ways to look at it. I know I wouldn't have the one thing that the notoriety the WWF has given me, it's really helped me with the platform I have now.
Sure.
So anyway, I think everything happens for a reason. But
well, yeah,
I love
that
Japan.
Good-looking young baby face that broke in, you know, out in the Southwest and spent a lot of time in the Oklahoma Territory, and there was always talk of you as the NWA champion. Do you look back and feel that you missed something because that didn't happen?
Well, you know, that's one of those things. Just that thing, the world title always eluded me. And of course, because I love the business, I mean, who wouldn't want to say, you know, I was the champ at one time?
Sure.
I was, you know, at one time there, I was told, the Funks were in my corner. I know that Bob Geigel was in my corner. I know that the Briscoes were in favor of me, you know, becoming the champ. And I think what they were talking about anyway, what they were talking about, instead of having one guy hold the belt for such a long time, they wanted to move it around more to make it more interesting and more exciting. And the three names that came up were Dusty, Ted DiBiase, and Ric Flair. And I guess it's my understanding now, looking back, that I think Bill Watts pulled out of the NWA.
Right.
And then the power basically went to, Mid-Atlantic.
Sure.
And the power, and Jimmy had the power, then, you know, Rick was Jimmy's boy, and Rick was the guy.
Right.
And so it ended up Rick, and then I know Dusty was there as well for a while, and I just kind of, you know, I missed it. And then when I went to work for Vince, initially WrestleMania 4, which was my first WrestleMania. I mean, they brought me in, they did all that stuff to get this character over, mm-hmm. And then they did the big thing on the first nationally televised wrestling show with Hulk and Andre having the first return match, and I buy the belt from Andre. That to you know, that was the angle to set up WrestleMania 4. And initially, I was told you'll take the belt at WrestleMania 4 for a while. Now, in the WWE now, as they're called, and it's just you know in the NWA, pretty much the champion was a heel unless
right.
he was wrestling in his own territory. But there, you know, Vince's theory is, you know, people, you know, and kids want to come out and they want to cheer their champion, and so the champion's usually a babyface, and heels were transitional champions. You know, you would keep it for a short while just to put it, get it ready to put back on another baby face. So,
yeah.
But as it turned out, and I still don't know why, there was some talk, and this is just me getting secondhand information, that, I don't know, something between Honky Tonk Man and Randy Savage, they weren't happy about something. One was the Intercontinental Champion, and one didn't want to lose the belt, one didn't want to do something else, and it's my understanding that in an effort to keep peace with everybody, they decided to turn Randy babyface, put the belt on him, and then that's why they created the $1 million belt. And, you know, and then from a business point of view, it actually ended up being better, I think. I mean, for the character.
Yeah. It was definitely more expensive.
Yeah.
Well, you went, you know, and I think that's something, too. You went from an aw shucks babyface to the over-the-top heel persona of the Million Dollar Man. And I don't care if it's an actor in a movie or somebody in our business. That's a heck of a transition to make, but you did it successfully.
Yeah, and well, you know, it was the you know, I was a baby face for a good while, and but the real heel turn for me came before the WWF. It's funny, when a few of the guys were starting to leave, Bill Watts,
right?
Paul Orndorff had gone, and the Samoans had gone back to New York, and I remember Ernie Ladd was helping book for Bill, and he came to me and he said, because at the time Junkyard Dog and me were the baby faces for the Mid-South, and he says, you know, Ted, keep your eyes open. We need a couple of really good heels. And I used to tease JYD. I used to say, hey man, I said, you know what? I said, you shake your butt, the music plays, you go out there and howl at the moon. The match lasts about 7 minutes, and you're making all the money. I said, and I'm going out there every night and sweating for 30 or 40 minutes. Now, something ain't right here.
Right.
You know, and it just hit me one day. I said, I found the heel. It's me. And I remember going and knocking on Ernie Ladd's door and at the Sheridan in Shreveport, and I said, Ernie, I found your heel. And he said, who? And I said, you're looking at him. And it was funny, man. He took about two steps back, and his eyes got real big, like he used to, you know, he used to look. And,
right.
And he pointed at me, and he started smiling. And he goes, he says, that's a great idea. And here's what's so funny is, like, after he agreed with me, I almost started backing out. It was almost like, I'm not sure I can do this.
Right.
You know, he had confidence in me, and that's actually when I started the heel turn.
Yeah.
And I think that what Vince and Pat and those guys saw was that the character that I projected as a heel was always kind of aloof, and, you know, I wasn't one of those guys who ran out the door and screamed at everybody and everything. I just looked down at everybody like they were peons.
Right.
And more like Johnny Valentine's.
Yeah. Movie. And that was the, and my dad was the same type of heel, and so I think they thought, well, that perfectly fits this Million Dollar Man character.
You know, Touch, when Ernie passed away, God love him, I was lucky to get a chance to see him last year in Mobile for a little while. But I was telling Doc, everybody saw him, you know, as a great football player, as a great heel, but he had a tremendous mind as a manipulator in our business.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, Ernie was great. He really was. He really had great psychology. I mean, you know, anybody, you know, you take a guy that big and have him get in the ring and wrestle guys that, you know, and it's Andre the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
What set Andre, you know, it's like you got this other guy that, you know, the Big Show that comes, and the Big Show can't hold a candle to Andre the Giant because he doesn't have the psychology. Anytime a guy that big can make you believe that a guy, you know, a quarter of his size can beat him up, has got to have great psychology and know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Ernie did the deal with Chavo Sr. and on the West Coast, everybody thought it was crazy. They did nothing but big business out there.
Exactly, yeah.
Some of the vignettes that went on in WWF at the time were some of the most memorable things, I think, in the promotion's history, including the basketball incident.
You know, I tell you, I wish I could take credit for that, but that was Gorilla Monsoon's idea. They, you know, when they started the whole gimmick originally, you know, Vince pictured me actually walking out to the ring, and taking, you know, fives and tens and handfuls of them, mm-hmm. and throwing the money on the ground, you know, and as the people would die for it, laughing at them, and like in me boasting and going, yeah, that's it, you bunch of peons,
right.
Grovel for my money. Well, then he realized, he said, how are we going to make anybody hate you if you're throwing money at them?
Right.
and so the idea then became like, okay, well, let's set them up and offer them the money and then stick them for it. So I did things with a gal that got on TV and had her bark like a dog in 15 different ways, and another kid. But the basketball of all the gimmicks I did is the one, and we were in Milwaukee, and I guess, you know, outside of being famous for beer, it's famous for basketball.
Right.
And that was Gorilla's idea. He says, let's get a kid out there dribbling a basketball and jilting for it. And they couldn't have picked a better kid. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I said, I'm waiting for that kid to walk up to me because he's going to be about 25 now.
Mm.
You know, somewhere he's going to walk up. He's probably about 6'8". He's going to look down and he goes, hey, you remember me?
Right.
But the truth is, all of those people got the money. I mean, that was all part of the show. But that particular night, you know, when that deal was over, I kicked that basketball, and this guy, and he wasn't acting anymore. He didn't know. He's a little kid.
Right.
Because we had rehearsed it, and, of course, when we were rehearsing it, it was all fun and games. But when out there in front of the live crowd, I had to be hardcore.
Right.
And, you know, and I said, you don't get the money. A great big crocodile tears welled up in his eyes, and he ran to his mother. He couldn't have done it better if we scripted it.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. I got in the back, and I said, you better get me out of here in a armored truck.
Right. And you also had a very young boy named Rob Van Dam kiss your feet.
You know, that's right. You know, and I never knew that for the longest time, you know, and I can't even remember who told me now, but somebody said something to me about, you know, I guess we were watching the show once, and they said, hey, that's Rob Van Dam. I go, yeah. He said, you know, that kid, you know how that kid got started? I go, huh? I said, he's kissing your feet? I said, you're kidding.
No.
And that's amazing.
He said that was probably the greatest moment of his life, was to be able to come in there and do that.
His first payoff in wrestling.
Wow.
Absolutely. We've got some questions from the live chat room that we want to get through. There are a ton of questions, so we're going to try to make pick the best ones and make it brief. But Ants84 says, why did you decide to go back to the WWE as an agent after you were negative about the company for so long?
Well, my negativity was based on, you know, and again, when they interviewed me, I mean, in other words, I didn't really realize there would ever be an interest for me to come back, and they wanted me to come back and try the creative role and the agent role,
mm-hmm.
and I, in interviewing with them, you know, actually in interviewing with Stephanie, and I told Steph, I said, you know, Steph, I said, I've been pretty outspoken about the programming, and she said, we know that, Ted. She says, you're entitled to your opinion. And my biggest beef was just the, you know, it's like, you know, the anti-heroes. And, you know, like, you know, when you got little kids in the building and you got a guy, you know, flipping the bird and guzzling beer and cussing like a sailor.
Right.
And yet he's the baby face. I got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is, I think, our society today. I think, good is bad, bad is good, and I still don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're going to affect change, well, the best way to affect change is get in there and let your voice be heard. And so that's why I decided to go back. I said, you know what, and as a Christian and as a minister, the other thing that I keep hammering at people who call themselves Christians is, you know, Jesus said, be salt and light. Jesus said, you know, that as we are commissioned as a Christians to share the gospel with the world. In other words, if you're a Christian, your duty is not to just show up at church on Sunday and to be a good person. You're to share that gospel. And I keep telling people, I said, you have a sphere of influence that nobody else has.
Right.
My sphere of influence, you know, is broader because of my notoriety in wrestling, and that's the sphere God's given me. Mm-hmm. But there's people who don't come to see me that don't care about wrestling, but there's something in your life that they identify with, and you can reach them.
Right.
So in saying that, what God really impressed upon me was, what greater sphere of influence do you have than the business you spent half your life in?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I decided to go back and try.
Rhode Island Red says you had a tryout in the commentating position at Royal Rumble 94 in Providence. What happened, and why didn't they let you commentate after that?
Oh, they did.
Okay.
I did the Royal Rumble, and then I came back, and I commentated for the next couple of years with Gorilla Monsoon. And actually Gorilla Monsoon, and I think Stan Lane and I did some commentating. There were several shows, but Wrestling Challenge was the main show that I commentated on.
Mm-hmm.
But I commentated, and then as I commentated, not only was I doing the commentating, but I was also then became, you know, ringside manager, and, you know, of course they came up with the gimmick to have the $1 million corporation, and then I, you know, like so many other managers, had my stable of heels.
Right. Jack Ball says, was the $1 million belt really made out of all real diamonds? If so, how much did it cost?
No, it wasn't all real diamonds, and it wasn't real gold, because if it was, it would have been too heavy for me to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But the belt, the stones are cubic zirconiums,
mm-hmm.
and those aren't cheap.
Right.
So I was told, and I had to carry a paper with me, when we would go on overseas tours and I was crossing an international border, in case somebody asked, I had to present them with this piece of paper. But basically, its estimated value when they had it made was $40,000.
Okay. There was a lot of, there's a lot of speculation. Some said $150,000, things like that. But, yeah, we got the word. Rhode Island Red says, what was it like to work with Virgil?
Virgil was a pretty good guy. I mean, he was, very businesslike. He wasn't somebody that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this guy now the rest of my life. No, he was very hardworking. I mean, he showed up on time. He was never, you know, late. He took the job seriously, and he was a good listener. He listened very well. Virgil was never like a great worker. I mean, they hired him basically because of his look,
mm-hmm.
and everything. But he adapted very well, and we ended up having some pretty good matches because he listened well and he trusted me.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were a road agent for the SmackDown brand, there was a horrible scare back in September of 2005 where you had passed out, you lost consciousness in Stanford.
Actually, it was in December. It was in December, and I got up one morning in the hotel, and Dusty and I were both staying there, and it's about, it's only about 6 or 7 blocks from the office, and took a shower, and I got out of the shower, and basically I just got this real flush feeling, and stopped, like, you know, gosh, what's that? And the next thing I remember, I was on the floor with my head against the wall, and I opened my eyes, and it's kind of like, okay.
Oh, wow.
I think I just passed out.
Right.
And I got up, and I got dressed. I called Dusty. Dusty said, do you want me to come to your room? I said, no. I said, I think I'm okay. I said, I'll just meet you at the restaurant. So I went downstairs, and now Dusty says, he said, you were sitting there drinking your coffee, and all of a sudden your eyeball rolled to the back of your head and you fell right off of the chair. And he said, I saved your life. You got to hear Dusty tell a story. I mean, I literally, the next time I opened my eyes, I was looking up at Dusty, and he said, you're going to be okay, kid. You're going to be okay. And they got me in the van, took me to the hospital. Long story short, they checked my heart, they checked everything, and mm-hmm. they couldn't find anything.
Wow.
And then they weighed me. And they said, Ted, how much do you weigh? I said, probably about 285, 290, 326.
Whoa.
And they did a blood test, and they said, you're not diabetic, but your blood sugar is fluctuating.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if you're not careful and if you don't lose some weight, you run the risk of becoming a diabetic.
Right.
So, you know, the word was get off the concentrated sugar and lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really hard, you know, because the older I get, I'm 53 now, and I spend a lot of time right where I'm sitting now in my office, and I travel a lot, and I'm, you know, I'm on the computer and stuff a lot, and
right.
and my knees are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I have really bad knees from the business, and my left hip, but I have got to make myself, you know, get out and do something, because if I don't, then I'm going to, you know, actually somebody told me he said for every 10 pounds of body weight I lose, that I would actually take 30 pounds of pressure off my knees. That's amazing.
Wow, yeah.
So anyway, I got to quit being a slug.
Well, it's good that you're okay. Stevie J says, his question about Randy Orton, he would ask what advice you would have for him.
Randy, you know, I tell you what, Randy is one of the best pure pieces of talent, young talent, in the industry today.
Mm-hmm.
And if Randy could get his stuff together, so to speak, and, you know, get all the personal problems in his life straightened out, he'd be the world champion. And I'm telling you, he's got the talent. He's got the savvy. He's got all the tools. I mean, he's a kid that grew up in the business, and of course his dad was great. And Randy just needs to, you know, and I don't know, you know, because I haven't been there since last October, and I don't know what's gone on since then, but I know that, you know, there's a lot of things that would have happened, you know, during that time that I was there and in that inner circle and part of the creative team and everything, that, you know, Randy could, you know, he could be on top of the world, but it's the personal issues in his life, you know. And sometimes I think guys get, you know, it's kind of like where sometimes you know you're good, and it's almost like, well, you know, I'm good, and they're going to use me, and no matter what I do, but you know, that's not always the case. You know, there's another guy that was like that, and I loved him to death. As a matter of fact, he had a tremendous impact on my career. I learned a lot from him. And I worked with him a lot, and I loved him. And he's a guy that should have been a world champion, but it was the little Dennis the Menace in him that caused him not to ever be. And that was Dick Murdoch.
yes, he was.
You know, Dick Murdoch was so good. I mean, it used to make me mad. The business came to him so easy. I mean, he could be out in the ring having a absolutely knockdown, drag out, tremendous match, and it was so easy to him. And at the same time, he'd be cutting jokes, and it was almost like just another day at the office.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're running out of time. Is there any last thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, I just want to thank the fans. You know, to me, wrestling fans are the greatest fans in the world because they're so loyal and they never forget you. And, you know, and they really don't, and they keep coming back. And it amazes me today. I mean, I haven't wrestled since the end of 1993. And I guess because of the WWE and because the business has gotten so big with the new video games and, gosh, new action figures and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many young people know who I am.
Yeah.
But I just, I guess that's all. It's just, you know, just thank you. Because without the fans, you know, we're nothing. And you know, we wouldn't have any of this if they didn't come out and support us. So that's what I'd like to say is thank you to the fans. And you know what? The other thing would be, if you've never considered God, you know, it'd be a good time to do it. you know, I confronted an atheist one time. When I say I confronted him, I overheard these two guys talking,
mm-hmm.
and they were debating whether there was a God or not. And so I very politely, I just asked him, I said, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, no. And I said, what's the difference between a Jew and a Muslim and a Buddhist and all these other religions? And he couldn't tell me. And I said, in answering those two questions, what you just said was that you don't believe in a God that you've never spent 15 minutes looking for. And I said, so here's what I want to pose to you. I said, for the sake of argument, if you're right and I'm wrong, it won't matter. I said, but if I'm right and you're wrong and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're wrong for eternity.
Right.
So if there's a fraction of a chance that I'm right, don't you think you at least owe it to yourself to find out? So that's the thought that I would leave with everybody tonight.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you being on the show. Guys, check out more about Ted DiBiase at milliondollarman.com. And, Ted, no BS. It's an honor having you on the show.
Yeah, hey. Teddy, it's always a pleasure, and God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, guys, and God bless you as well.
All right, take care.
You bet. Good night.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. That's going to wrap up our two-year anniversary show. It's been a good birthday.
Yeah, it has.
So we're going to be back next week. We've got Johnny Fairplay. He's going to be with us. And, of course, in 2 weeks, Ring of Honor's Nigel McGuinness is going to be joining us. So check out WrestlingWeekly.com every day. You will also find out all the latest news and all the things that are going on. And we've got lots of things, lots of surprises planned for you.
And don't forget EPWT.com and LesThatcher.com.
Absolutely. And, of course, don't forget, guys, Obsessed with Wrestling is now online, worldofwrestling.com. That's the place you want to go. We're out of here, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.